You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This right here could be the biggest moment of his career.
Is it his time? Yes! Another. Watson is wearing a green jacket at Augusta.
There's no doubt about it. The Bear has come out of hibernation.
All right, ready to roll here on the Golf Preview Podcast on Pregames Network. I'm your host, Will Doctor, and I'll be giving you all the picks and predictions you need for the Houston Open at Memorial Park. The PGA Tour says goodbye to the Florida swing after a great test at the Copperhead Course in Tampa. Peter Malnati won his second PGA Tour title, and this win comes 9 years after his first PGA Tour victory. That came back at the 2015 Sanderson Farms Championship. And listen, Malnati, not the most exciting player on the PGA Tour, but tip your cap to him because posting a 4-under 31 on the back nine of Copperhead is one of the more impressive finishes we've seen this year. It's not Scheffler's final round 64 at Sawgrass, but for Malnati to basically wave Cam Young, Chandler Phillips, and multiple-time PGA Tour winner Mackenzie Hughes, Malnati waved those three players goodbye. That was something that no one saw coming on Sunday, because out of the seven times Malnati has played Valspar over his career, he's missed the cut in six of those, and he tied 60th in the one time that he made the cut in his previous seven starts at Valspar. So the win for Malnati at Copperhead was surprising. And, when you look back at the year that 36-year-old Malnati has had, he had a couple top 15 showings in Phoenix and a PGA National, but he came into Tampa, ranked number 77 on the FedEx Cup standings. And, Malnati is someone who, has really struggled a lot on golf courses, here over the last several years. He has not been that accurate off the tee, which has been a huge issue for him because he lacks distance. And Malnati's approach numbers have been nothing special because, he's just never in position off the tee. At Memorial Park, placement, is everything this week. You can't be scrambling around Memorial Park. It's a course that requires distance off the tee because you really stand no chance at coming into these bowl-shaped greens at Memorial Park with five or six irons out of the rough. You take a look at the last few winners, Tony Finau, Jason Kokrak, and Carlos Ortiz, all big hitters, all very above average when it comes to precision iron play. But Memorial Park is a course I would also think about fading Malnati on coming off a win. Innisbrook does not favor long hitters. Memorial Park does, and that's why Malnati has missed the cut in two trips to Houston thus far since it switched from the Golf Club of Houston to Memorial Park. I also wouldn't run to the book and buy any futures tickets on Malnati to win a major. He's played in four of them. He's never made a cut in one. And in six starts at the fifth major in the Players, his best finish is 68th. Over the last 2 years, I feel like I've seen Malnati's name in headlines regarding the PGA Tour versus LIV saga, because he's, on the PGA Tour advisory board as a voice that kind of stands up for the middle class of the PGA Tour player. Malnati, he's more of a voice that we've heard a ton of, but prior to this season, he's only had three top 15 finishes over his last 30 starts. Credit to his swing coach, Bradley Hughes. Hughes really restored Malnati's game here over the last 2 years. And Malnati went to Hughes midway through last season and told him, look, my short game is there. But he told Hughes that he needed his help getting to the greens and getting to the place where he's in good position out of the fairway, hitting crisp iron shots, and making sure that more of those putts moving forward are for birdies and not for pars and bogeys. And I think he was referring to really, Malnati was referring to his atrocious driving and iron play when talking to Hughes about that. And clearly, Malnati has come a long way in a short period of time with Hughes. Like I said, at 36 years old and a fairly unsuccessful major championship resume, I'm passing on buying any Malnati major championship stock after last week. But nonetheless, very impressive, closing nine for Malnati as he fired a 31 on the back nine to win the Valspar Championship by two. And I was looking into the field on Sunday in Tampa. You had the journeyman in Malnati. You had the multi-time PGA Tour winner in Mackenzie Hughes. And you had the rookie trying to get it done in Chandler Phillips. And you had the soon-to-be star, but not yet PGA Tour winner in Cameron Young. You know who you didn't have there in Tampa on Sunday? You didn't have the three most recognizable names in the field anywhere to be found over the weekend. Jordan Spieth and Sam Burns missed the cut. And Justin Thomas, who we had to win last week, played some fabulous golf over the first 2 days and then stunk up in Innisbrook on Saturday with a 79. How someone as good as JT, shoots 79 is beyond me. And he said, JT said he didn't miss the center of the face on Sunday until his tee shot on nine. You know, that kind of goes to show how good JT felt about his ball striking, but that really doesn't matter when he had 38 putts on the day on Saturday. You want to know how JT shot 79 Saturday at Copperhead? You just check the putting numbers, 38 putts. And, that concluded a subpar Florida swing for JT. After he played great early on in the spring out west in California and in Florida, JT went 12th at Bay Hill. He missed the cut at Sawgrass and then tied 64th at Valspar. Not great. We won't see JT again for 2 weeks until the Masters. So, he'll have some time to go find it in the dirt with Mike. As for world number 19, Jordan Spieth, Spieth's Florida swing was totally deplorable. 30th at Bay Hill and then missed cuts at both the Players and in Tampa for Spieth. That is absolute garbage. Spieth going to have to take 2 weeks here to find it before, one of his favorite courses on tour in Augusta National. He seems to play well there every year. And Spieth, kind of like JT, promising start to the season at certain points through the California swing, but just an absolutely nightmare of a Florida swing for Spieth. And how about world number 21, Sam Burns? How about his Florida swing? He didn't finish better than 30th once over three starts around the Florida swing. Burns, another great American who was really non-existent over the last 3 weeks on the PGA Tour. What about world number seven, Patrick Cantlay? He didn't play Valspar, and he likely won't play Houston or San Antonio before the Masters. But Cantlay was another one who was nowhere to be found over the Florida swing. 36th at the Arnold Palmer and 68th at the Players for Cantlay around Florida. So when you look at the top 20 ranked American golfers in the world who are legitimately playing well at the moment, it's Scottie Scheffler, it's Wyndham Clark, it's Xander Schauffele, and it's Brian Harman. Other than, that, when you look at who made up the American Ryder Cup team, Spieth, Cantlay, Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, Ricky Fowler, those guys have been nowhere to be found over the last 4 weeks. And that's an interesting note to make as most of these stars begin their preparations for Augusta National. Cam Young, that's an American worth noting. He had two top five finishes over four starts in Florida. Hats off to him. He played all four events over the Florida swing, and Cam Young had good finishes in Palm Beach and in Tampa. He will rest up. Cam Young likely not to play in Houston or San Antonio. He will rest up and get ready for the major championship season where he's flourished over the last 2 years. So to me, the best Americans in the world besides Scheffler and Wyndham Clark have been totally underwhelming to start this year. Scheffler, you know, once again, besides Wyndham Clark, maybe Scheffler doesn't have a real challenger as far as dominating the game is concerned. Let's get to Houston, where the PGA Tour begins its 2 week stretch in Texas heading into the Masters. Memorial Park is it's a golf course that I've grown up around. You know, this has been a place that has been very close to my heart, you know, going to the double decker range and practicing, you know, in the evenings after school, my dad taking me over there. It's a place where, you know, when I think about where's the first place that I began to hit golf balls when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, it was definitely Memorial Park. I know this place inside and out. I knew the old design, and now I know the new design, which came into play in 2019 after Tom Doak and Brooks Koepka redesigned the place with the funding from Richard Kinder and Jim Crane. That was about a $34 million redo. So we'll get to that. But this was a course that was Memorial Park. It was first built in 1912, part of the World War I Camp Logan training base for the U.S. military. It was the base golf course, and Memorial Park first hosted the Houston Open in 1947. And then the course didn't host another PGA Tour event until 1951, and the tournament thrived at Memorial through 1963. The tournament had some outstanding winners through those early years in the mid-1900s. Masters winner and Champions Golf Club founder Jackie Burke Jr. won at Memorial Park in 1952 and 1959. Arnold Palmer won it at MIMO in 1957. And then 18-time major winner Jack Nicklaus lost in a playoff at MIMO in 1962. So this was a tournament that really had some good years in Memorial Park through the 50s and 60s. And then the Houston Open, you know, moved all over the city, Sharpstown, you know, Braeburn, Westwood. And then, you know, it finally found a home at Golf Club of Houston. Now, as the Golf Club of Houston hosted this event through, you know, up until, I think, 2019, 2020, between the late 60s and, you know, the late 2010s, the city of Houston really did not do a great job maintaining Memorial Park from the 60s up until 2018. And that's when Houston philanthropist Richard Kinder and his wife pledged, you know, $70 million to accelerate the redevelopment and restoration of Memorial Park as a whole, not just the golf course. And that is when Astros owner and Astros golf chairman Jim Crane had the vision to bring the Houston Open back to the middle of inner city Houston at Memorial Park. Maybe not inner city, you know, just outside inner city, yet still in the loop, was what was important to Jim Crane. Bring the Houston Open back inside the loop. And that had to happen in none other than Memorial Park. And 2019 was the year Memorial Park's golf course architecture, you know, totally change. Once Jim Crane had finished the deal to bring the tournament back to Memorial, him and the Astros Foundation committed $34 million to renovate just the golf course into more of a modern PGA Tour design. And they brought in the world famous golf course architect and Tom Doak with none other than five-time major champion Brooks Koepka overseeing Doak's redesign, giving his input onto how Memorial Park would be updated. And the connection between Koepka and Crane goes back to the Floridian Golf Club, which Crane owns, and a course where, you know, Koepka plays often in his home state of Florida. But after playing and watching pros go about the new Memorial Park redesign over the last 3 years, it's apparent that this course has Brooks Koepka's handprints all over it. You cannot win at New Memorial Park if you don't fly at 310 off the tee. You cannot win at the New Memorial Park if you're outside the top 20 in stroke gained approach. And you 100% cannot win at Memorial Park if you're coming into this tournament off your game around the greens. This is a huge golf course that is going to be playing over 7,100 yards in distance. And the greens in the landing areas are tiny. And it's going to be a long tournament for these shorter hitters that are coming into most of these greens with anything more than an 8-iron. The collars, the fringes, the roll-off areas around the greens have given the pros the most trouble over the last 3 years in Memorial Park. Now, the first three editions at Memorial Park were played in the fall in the heart of November. That is not growing season here in Texas. The grass never really came around at Memorial Park when it was played in November. The players hated it. You could get some days where you get a little bit of rain in November. You get some days in November here in Houston where it can be cold, you know, right after a 90-degree day. You get some of that randomness. But when the tournament was hosted, you know, in November in 2020, 21, and 22, when the Houston Open was in the fall, the players hated it because they always faced those chip shots in those not yet grown in dead areas coming off the summer at Memorial Park. Joel Dahmen last year called it the worst course conditions on tour. I heard him say it. Joel's actually played very well here over the last 2 years, which we'll talk about later on. But according to him, this was the worst course conditions on the PGA Tour when the Houston Open was played at Memorial Park in November. But that changes this year because the Houston Open got a spring date 2 weeks before the Masters. This is prime growing season for Texas golf courses. And Houston has gotten the perfect amount of rain over the last 2 weeks with an absolutely perfect forecast rolling into the weekend. I still think, regardless of the date change from fall to spring, I still think the player who helped design this and the players who have won at Memorial Park tell a big part of the story about what it takes to win on this golf course. Brooks Koepka was the player who helped design this course. And then the winners have been Carlos Ortiz, Jason Kokrak, and Tony Finau. All four of those guys, Koepka, Ortiz, Kokrak, and Finau, they're all bombers who feast on long golf courses with small greens. Memorial Park is a semi-US Open type setup, especially if they allow the rough to grow after the rain Houston has gotten over the last 2 weeks. All right, enough of the course and, you know, the history lesson. Let's get to the picks. Today we will go through the top six favorites on the odds boards. Then I will give you two matchups and one pick to place. That will be followed by three outright winners and two sleeper options. And then I'll give you a top 10 after the first round pick, and I'll conclude the podcast with two lineups, a scoring prediction, and a best bet. This is the Golf Preview Podcast on Pregames Network. I'm your host, Will Doctor. Let's get it started with the favorites for the Houston Open. All right, let's get rolling with the favorites for the Houston Open, starting with Scottie Scheffler at plus 325 on Bovada. And no one has won three events on the PGA Tour since Dustin Johnson did so in 2017. And that's what Scottie Scheffler looks to do in Houston this week as world number one comes off wins at Bay Hill and the Players to strengthen his position at the top of the game. And Scottie has, you know, been in the mix and finished top 10 over the last 2 years at the Houston Open, which doesn't surprise me. From the perspective of what it takes to win on this golf course, Scottie is a beast with the driver. He's the best on the PGA Tour when it comes to iron play. And he's got a creative Texas-made short game that is made for these grainy greenside conditions that you'll see all week in Memorial Park. I have three winners this week, and Scheffler will be one of them. My guess number before I saw the odds was plus 300 for Scheffler, so we got something just a little bit better than that at plus 325. So right out of the gate with favorites number one, Scheffler is on the card today as one of my three outrights at plus 325 on Bovada. When we get to the outright section of the pod, I'll give you a little more background on the three other players in PGA Tour history who have won three tournaments in a row. And I'll tell you why Scheffler models that a lot going into this week at Memorial Park. For now, we move on to Wyndham Clark at 14 to 1 on BetOnline or MGM. 19 to 1 was my guess here, which bothers me when it comes to Clark this week. And this is pretty amazing. You know, Wyndham Clark entered last year's Houston Open ranked 189th in the world, and he returns this year as world number four. You know, what a year for Clark as he, you know, won at Quail Hollow and won the US Open and won at Pebble Beach. Clark, you know, was a part of that United States Ryder Cup team that just got run over in Rome. But what an improvement Clark has showcased at 30 years old. This is someone who has really been in the shadow of Scottie Scheffler over the last two elevated events on the PGA Tour. Clark finished second to Scheffler at Bay Hill and then finished second to him again at Sawgrass. And I don't know if golf fans realize how lucky they were to see that duel between Scheffler and Clark, because we've never in the history of the PGA Tour seen two players finish first and second in consecutive weeks. We've never seen that happen. And you can only hope that duel continues. It's great for the game to see two names consistently battle it out at the top. We never really saw Phil and Tiger do it a whole lot, to most people's surprise. You know, Bryson and Brooks was a total clown show type duel. You know, the two of them never really got to the top of the leaderboard together on Sunday. You could go on, even Jack and Arnie. I mean, you know, as good as they were for their era, as good as Jack and Arnie were for their time, you could argue for how polarizing they were. The two of them did not get to the top of the leaderboard together on Sunday, near enough for how the media perceives their overall duel through their careers. So Scheffler and Clark, you know, that 1-2 finish in back-to-back weeks, incredibly special, and you can only hope that continues. Now back to Clark. You know, a lot of my friends here in Houston are telling me who they're going to go follow this week. You know, Scottie Scheffler, Tony Finau, to hit the gala, hometown favorites Chandler Phillips and Cole Hammer. But let me tell you, if you're in Houston this week watching golf, you have to get a look at Wyndham Clark Live up close and personal. The power, the swing, the legwork that this guy possesses in the golf swing is just incredible and something that you've never really seen before. And when you're talking about the way Clark fits this golf course, I think once again, he has the same strengths that Kokrak, Finau, and Scheffler possess. Clark's a big hitter. He's got great iron play with a manageable short game. But the overall issue here is that my guess number for Clark was 19 to 1, and he opened at 14 to 1. So I have to be out on Wyndham Clark this week. But if you're a Wyndham Clark fan, I do love where his game is at. And I wouldn't criticize you for taking him this week, but I'm not in love with that 14 to 1 number. So I am out on the reigning US Open champion in Wyndham Clark this week. We move to Will Zalatoris at 20 to 1 on FanDuel, DraftKings, and Caesars. And I love, color me obsessed with Will Zalatoris this week because he is the best long iron player in this field. I would put Zalatoris, Scheffler, and Tom Hoagie up there as the best long iron players in this field. And that will come in handy because you need players who are going to hit precise long iron shots into these small greens. I don't love Zalatoris in any of the matchups against the rest of the favorites based on the numbers, but I will have Will Zalatoris as my second outright winner at 20-1 on FanDuel. And I'll tell you more about that when we get to the outright section. For now, we move to Tony Finau at 22-1. You can find Finau's 22-1 number on Bet365, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetOnline, and Caesars. And no one has repeated at the Houston Open since Vijay Singh did it at Golf Club of Houston in 2004 and 2005. And a lot of talking heads are going to try to fade Finau this week because he's coming off the miscut in Tampa and he did not perform well on the weekend at the Players. I'm not saying I like Finau to win this week, but Finau's results a lifetime on the Florida swing are not great, so I don't put too much stock into his play on the East Coast. What I do take stock in is the fact that Finau picked up strokes on the greens at Sawgrass and in Tampa. He is putting well coming into Houston. We can't say that often about Finau coming into a golf tournament. Oh, Finau's putting well. It doesn't happen that often. And when it does, he tends to win. Once Finau begins to feel it with the putter, we know that good play soon follows with how consistent his ball striking is on a week-to-week basis. He didn't hit it well in Tampa last week, but it was the first time in about 10 events that he lost strokes to the field with his ball striking. And you rarely ever see Finau repeat that type of heinous week with ball striking. I would have loved to take Finau in a matchup, but looking at the books, that's not going to happen for us this week. Most books have him against Zalatoris. I don't like that. I'm big on Sith Thagala this week, so I don't like Finau's matchup against the Pepperdine alum. Jason Day has a solid track record around Memorial Park in the past, so I don't like Finau's matchup against the Aussie. And then Siwoo Kim is coming off a ninth place finish at the Players. Siwoo has played well in Houston before, so I can't take the risk of taking Finau over Siwoo. So the play I'm on for Finau this week is for Tony Finau to finish top 20 at plus 125 on BetOnline. We move to Sahith Theegala at 22-1 on MGM. And I like Sahith Theegala a lot this week. We will have Theegala as our third outright winner. Rarely will you see me place more than two outrights, but three will be the case in Houston this week. You have to have Theegala's outright ticket on the card this week because the now Houston resident is coming off a sixth place finish at Bay Hill and a ninth place showing at the Players. When you talk about the combination of great ball striking and stellar putting, remember, there's not too many guys who are elite at both. I would not put Scheffler in the elite putting category yet. I would put Theegala in there. And the numbers would back that. Theegala is fourth in strokes gained total and seventh in strokes gained putting rolling into this week. He has the firepower off the tee. Sahith has the hands around the greens that you can trust, and he can absolutely roll the shit out of it around the greens. So we will have Sahith Theegala as our third outright at 22-1. That's a great number with the way Sahith has been playing in the elevated events, and we'll discuss Theegala a little more in the outright section. We end our favorites conversation with Jason Day at 25-1 across all sportsbook, and I am out on world number 20 Jason Day this week. My guess number for Day on Sunday evening was 45-1, as he comes off a really subpar Florida swing, 36th at Bay Hill and 35th at the players for the Aussie. My guess number for day going into this week was 42 to 1, and the books are giving us 25 to 1. So that is an auto out for me on day this week. I understand he has solid course history around Memorial Park, but the fact is, Day is coming off back-to-back tournaments where he did not hit his irons well, and that is a big requirement around Memorial Park. I would pass on Jason Day all around. And, you know, I would say this for big time Jason Day fans, don't get sucked in to the Jason Day over Alex Noren matchup on MGM. Noren finished fourth in Houston last year and is coming off back to back top 20 finishes at PGA National in the player. So all in all, it's a pass on Jason Day this week. All right, let's move into the matchups for the Houston Open. We start with Kurt Kitayama over Keith Mitchell at even money on DraftKings Sportsbook. And I think this is really the perfect time to fade Keith Mitchell, as the Houston Open will mark the third week in a row Mitchell is on the road. Watching him shoot a final round 77 at the Valspar after starting Sunday with the lead really confirmed my decision to fade him this week. You could see the exhaustion and the worn out look on Mitchell's face as he threw up all over himself at the Copperhead course last Sunday. And Mitchell is a player who is really going to leave the Florida swing with a bad taste in his mouth after having multiple opportunities to get his second career PGA Tour win. Had Mitchell gotten off to a better start at PGA National, he would have won. And had he not coughed up a final round lead in Tampa, Mitchell would have won there as well. I'll give it to him. You know, five top 20s on the season already for Mitchell, but they haven't come in the elevated events, which is why he still sits 58th on the FedEx Cup standings. That's why I say it's a Florida swing that, you know, Mitchell played well, but really got nothing out of. And that's why I don't see last week as any kind of a momentum driving finish for Mitchell. I saw that final round 77 in Tampa as one that blew the wind out of his sails, and one that I think will lead to a miscut this week in Tampa and in Houston. My apologies. As for Kurt Kitayama, we haven't heard his name much since he won his first PGA Tour title last year at Bay Hill, but over his last four starts, Kitayama, now, starting to get in the mix more and more. He finished ninth at the Wasted Management and 19th at the Players last week. And in between his win at Bay Hill last year and now, it's not like Kitayama has been totally off the grid. He's had glimpses of excellence on really tough golf courses. He played well a few weeks after, you know, played well a few weeks down the road of his win at Bay Hill. He played well a few weeks later in Austin as he finished fifth at last year's match play. He made a run at the PGA Championship at Oak Hill where he finished fourth. So Kitayama, he's a 31-year-old who I really have a lot of confidence in on tough golf courses. That's why his one PGA Tour win came at Bay Hill, one of the toughest and most demanding ball-striking tracks on the PGA Tour. And I look at Memorial Park in that same light. Kitayama is 11th on the PGA Tour in approach shots outside of 200 yards. And this has to be, without a doubt, the best matchup on the board this week. It is Kurt Kitayama over Keith Mitchell at even money on DraftKings Sportsbook. The second matchup for this week is going to be Chandler Phillips over Alex Smalley at minus 122 on BetOnline. And I'm shocked that Alex Smalley would ever be in the same conversation with Chandler Phillips, but that's what we're seeing in this matchup in Houston. Alex Smalley is really only being talked about this week because he finished fourth at last year's Houston Open, but when you look at where Smalley's game was at this time last year, He was on a 3-week heater where Smalley went 11th at Bermuda, 4th in Houston, and 5th at the RSM and Sea Island. That is not the same Alex Smalley who's cruising down Memorial Drive this week. You know, Smalley has missed 5 cuts in a row coming into this week. The Duke alum has been, you know, horrible with the driver. He's been dreadful with the irons. And, you know, Paulie at the putt-putt could roll the rock better than Smalley right now. I think this is the absolute perfect spot to put Chandler Phillips into action. We were high on Phillips to begin the season. I told you he was going to be a rookie who, you know, made a difference this year. And we saw the Texas A&M alum have a great chance to win last week at Valspar. Phillips was sensational in Tampa, firing rounds of 68, 68, 70, 69, en route to a third place finish, his first top 5 finish on the PGA Tour. But it was Phillips's third top 25 of the season, and it could have easily been a win had Malnati not fired a 31 on Copperhead's back 9. But nonetheless, you know, it's a finish that showed Chandler Phillips that he can compete against the best in the world. And I think it comes at a timely part of the year where, you know, the next two golf courses, Memorial Park and TPC San Antonio, they both favor players who are elite with their iron play. You look at Chandler Phillips, and he's 18th on tour in strokes gained approach, and he's top 20 in approach proximity from 150 to 175 yards. And he's top 20 in approach proximity between 200 and 225 yards. He's a great match for the course this week. So for matchup number 2, it's going to be Chandler Phillips over Alex Smalley at minus 122 on BetOnline. As for the one pick to place, I already gave it to you. It's going to be Tony Finau to top 20 at plus 125 on BetOnline. So let's get to going back over these 3 outright winners. Number 1 is Scottie Scheffler to win at plus 325 on Bovada. You look at the players who have won 3 times in a row on the PGA Tour. DJ won Riviera, WGC Mexico, and WGC Dell all in a row in 2017. Rory McIlroy won the Open Championship. He won Firestone, and he won the PGA at Valhalla all in a row in 2014. And then Tiger Woods was the first to accomplish that feat back in 2008 when he won the Farmers at Torrey Pines. He won the WGC Match Play, then played in Arizona, and he won Bay Hill all in a row. I look at the run Scheffler is on right now as a run that models what DJ did in 17, what Rory did in 14, and what Tiger did in 08. During Scheffler's win at the Players and at Bay Hill, his ball striking went to a level that is even better than what we've seen it over the last 2 years, which is uncharted territory historically. And Scheffler's putting seemed like it really turned the corner during that final round 64 at the Players. We saw Scheffler dominate with the ball striking, just like every other event since he came on the PGA Tour. But the difference was we saw him dominate with the flat stick as well. I don't just like Scheffler this week because he's been the talk of the tour. And, you know, my liking for Scheffler this week goes beyond the dominance he's asserted on the PGA Tour through 13 weeks of the season. I like Scottie Scheffler because he's simply done really damn well in Houston over the last 2 years. And I don't think that changes whatsoever this week. And I think his game has improved a ton since his last 2 showings in Houston. So for outright number 1, it's going to be Scottie Scheffler to win at plus 325. On Bovada. For outright number 2, it's going to be Will Zalatoris to win at 20-1 on BetOnline. And like I said in the favorites, you won't find many players who are better with their irons than Will Zalatoris. We were unsure at the beginning of the year if he was going to make a full recovery from those 2 herniated discs that cut his 2023 PGA Tour campaign short. But over the last month, Zalatoris is showing that he is back as far as contending on the PGA Tour is concerned. You look at the last 3 months, this guy did 13th at the Farmers at Torrey Pines. Zalatoris finished second at Riviera, and he finished fourth at Bay Hill. A lot of you are kind of be going, what about Zalatoris' last start at the Players that resulted in a missed cut? Listen, all I care about when looking at how Zalatoris played at Sawgrass, all I care about is how the approach numbers were, because that's the only thing that translate into this week. And the Players marked the fifth straight event in a row where Zalatoris was spot on with the irons. He missed the cut because of a few wayward tee shots that will take you right out of the action at Sawgrass, but that is not the same story at Memorial Park. You don't want to spray it off the tee at BMO. You want to be in these fairways coming into the small greens, but it's not an auto bogey when you miss a fairway at Memorial Park like it would be at Sawgrass. So, the Players and how Zal missed the cut there, it's irrelevant when it comes to my evaluation on him this week. Zal is sixth on the PGA Tour in approach, and he ranks in the top 20 in approach proximity from 175 to 200 yards out, which is exactly what we want to see this week. We also haven't talked about how the winning score is probably not going to be that high. It's good weather all week in Houston, but this course has showed its teeth over the last couple of years with not many players making it past the 13 under par number. And I tell you this because there's going to be a lot of big numbers on this golf course, and you can trust that Will Zalatoris won't be making any bogeys or worse this week, as he's 11th on the PGA Tour in bogey avoidance. So you got to have him on the card this week for outright number two. It's going to be Will Zalatoris to win at 20-1 on BetOnline. And for the final matchup, it's going to be Sahith Theegala at 22-1 on MGM. And I have Sahith this week because, like Scheffler and Zal, you look at Sahith's strengths, which seems to be everything he does, but the part of golf that he does best is going to fit Memorial Park to a T. He'll be driving down from the Woodlands every day this week, as that is where he now resides since moving here from California. Theegala ranks fifth on the FedEx Cup standings after a win early this season in Napa. He's also finished runner-up at the Century, fifth in Phoenix, and then back-to-back top 10 finishes at Bay Hill and the Players. And I have to have Theegala outright this week because of the mojo he comes into Houston after having a chance to win at Arnie's event and at the Players. You want to talk about getting your confidence going. If you can play well at those two courses in Florida, you can play well anywhere. And I think with Theegala going into the week ranked fourth in strokes gained total and seventh in strokes gained putting, I think he's going to have a great shot to win his second career PGA Tour event at a golf course in Memorial Park, where he finished 22nd last year. So for outright number three, it's going to be Sahith Theegala at 22-1 on MGM. All right, guys, a break from the golf to tell you about what we have going on over at pregame.com. You've got MLB starting up soon. You've got March Madness going on. A lot of great picks to buy on pregame.com. Go ahead and use my coupon code Texas15. Once again, that is Texas15 for 20% off anything for listeners of this golf podcast only on pregame.com. Once again, that is Texas15 for 20% off all picks and purchases over at pregame.com. Hey guys, are you looking for more sports betting content, including free picks, highlights, viral videos, behind-the-scenes photos from the show, and breaking news? Go follow Pregame on X, TikTok, Instagram, and more at Pregame Now. Once again, that is Pregame Now. And also go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Pregame TV for all episodes of Pregame's podcasts. All right, back to the golf.
Four.
All right.
Ball out. Ball out. Four.
We move to the sleepers for the Houston Open. I have two sleepers this week. Number one is a guy that I'm not even a huge fan of. You guys probably love him. It's Joel Dahman, the top 20 plus 325 on BetOnline. Now, I'm not on board with calling someone famous just because they were in some Netflix. All of this talk about how Damian has become some kind of superstar after taking his shirt off at last year's Phoenix Open and qualifying for the US Open on nothing but white claws. Yeah, it's a fun story. But it's not like he's backing up the so-called superstardom with all this great play. Joel Dahman is 147th on the official world golf rankings. He's 88th in the FedEx Cup standings. I mean, Dahman's game has been deplorable for the better part of 2 years. But here's the thing. Even if you don't like him, even if I don't like him, you probably love him, like I said. We always have to be on the lookout for courses that Joel Dahman likes. And Dahman has proved over the years that Memorial Park is one of those spots, even though it's his least favorite course on the PGA Tour, which will change this year because the course looks a lot better in the spring. But back to Dahman, he finished fifth at the Houston Open in 2022, and then he finished ninth at Memorial Park last year. And man, Dahman returns here really just in the nick of time as he's 2 weeks removed from an awesome tied 11th place finish at the Players. He didn't play great after making the cut last week at Innisbrook, but for the second week in a row, he picked up shots with his driver and his irons, putting himself in place, which is what we need to see going into this week. I could care less about the 3 week in a row rule when it comes to Dahman. This is a guy in dire need of good finishes if he ever wants to play in the majors again, much less keep his PGA Tour card at the end of the season. So for sleeper number one, it's the so-called Netflix superstar, whatever that means. It's Joel Dahman to top 20 at plus 325 on BetOnline. That is sleeper number one. And sleeper number two, this is a little bit more of a serious note for sleeper number two. It's Mackenzie Hughes. Not that I'm not serious about Dahman, but Dahman is not serious about his game. So Mackenzie Hughes is serious about his game. I don't want to sound like I'm not giving out serious picks. Dahman to top 20 and plus 325 on BetOnline is my serious sleeper pick. But Mackenzie Hughes is a guy who, much more stats oriented, much more focused on his game, focused on the nutrition, focused on, getting enough rest. This guy is a player who's truly dialed into his game, and we have him to top 10 at plus 475 on BetOnline this week. And I had to add him on the card because he played beautifully last week in Tampa. Really, like Chandler Phillips, Mackenzie Hughes had the tournament in the palm of his hands going into the back nine until Malnati put on a career show. Hughes, like I said, focus level wise is the polar opposite to Dahman. Go to El Tiempo on Richmond one night this week. You'll see McKen I guarantee it. You'll see Mackenzie Hughes at a table by himself, going back over his course notes and drinking water. This is a Canadian who is not fucking around or just out on the PGA Tour to have a good time. Hughes has played very well in Houston over the last 2 years because he keeps his ball in front of him off the tee. And he gets up and down from everywhere around the greens. And he's eighth on the PGA Tour right now in putts per round. So this is a high scoring golf course that tends to fit Mackenzie Hughes perfectly as he finished 16th in Houston last year and seventh back in 2021. So for sleeper number two, it's going to be Mackenzie Hughes to top 10 at plus 475 on BetOnline. All right, let's get to this top 10 after the first round ticket. It's going to be Alex Noren, the Swede, to be in the top 10 after round one at plus 500 on DraftKings. And Alex Noren is not going to pop up on too many people's radar this week, but he quietly rolls into Houston off a top 20 finish at the Players. That was his second top 20 finish in a row as he placed ninth at PGA National at the beginning of the Florida Swing. I like Noren, in this first round spot for three reasons. Number one, Noren is third on the PGA Tour in first round scoring average. Number two, Noren finished fourth at last year's Houston Open. And number three, he's coming to Houston off some great momentum from the Florida Swing. So for the first round ticket, it's Alex Noren, who is fourth on the PGA Tour in greens and regulation. It's Alex Noren to be in the top 10 after round one at plus 500 on DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's move to the two lineups, one Yahoo lineup, one PGAtour.com lineup. Of course, the Yahoo lineup will be six players with a $200 budget. I've talked about most of these players today, so let's run through them. Number one is going to be Sahith Theegala at $40. Number two is going to be Will Zalatoris at $38. Number three is Kurt Kitayama at $35. Number four is Alex Noren at $33. Number five is Mackenzie Hughes at $31. And number six is going to be Jonathan Vegas at $20. We'll see if Vegas can get it cooking here in Houston where he resides after finishing 26th here 2 years ago. Remember, Vegas sidelined all of last year with shoulder surgery. So trying, you know, to pick and choose spots where he has played well in the past. Obviously, we have nothing to look from last year, but it's got to start somewhere for the four-time PGA Tour winner in Johnny Vegas. I think it's right here in Houston, so he will be the caboose at $20 on my Yahoo lineup. Going through that one more time for the Yahoo lineup. Number one is Sahith Theegala. Number two is Will Zalatoris. Number three is Kurt Kitayama. Number four is Alex Noren. Number five is Mackenzie Hughes. And number six is Jonathan Vegas. As for the PGAtour.com lineup, we have four players, two bench players, and you can't use a player more than four times over the course of a season. Number one is going to be Sahith Theegala for the first time this year. Number two is going to be Kurt Kitayama for the first time this season. For number three, we will field Will Zalatoris for the first time this year on the PGAtour.com lineup. And then we will round out our starting four with Joel Dahman. And as for the two bench players, they will both be first-timers as far as our PGAtour.com lineup is concerned. It will be Alex Noren and Chandler Phillips in the two bench spots, and you can sub them in at the conclusion of the first, second, or third round. So going back over the PGAtour.com lineup one more time, number one is Sahith Theegala. Number two is Kurt Kitayama. Number three is Will Zalatoris. Number four is Joel Dahman. And then your two bench players are Alex Noren and Chandler Phillips. As far as the scoring prediction, you know, I think we may have the best weather of the season this week in Houston. We've got lows in the mid-60s and highs in the low 80s. We will be in short sleeves all week. It's going to be an unbelievable week to watch golf. Once again, if you're in the Houston area, go out to Memorial Park. Some great vendors as far as the food is concerned. You're going to see some great top-level elite golf. Go out to Memorial Park this week if you're in the Houston area. But once again, the winning number for this week's Houston Open is going to be 14 under par. And as for the best bet, I already went over it. It's my favorite matchup. It's my favorite play of the week. It's going to be Kurt Kitayama over Keith Mitchell at even money on BetOnline. And that will do it here on Pre-Games Golf Preview Podcast. For more golf content, you can find me on X at DrMedia59. And we will talk next week ahead of the Valero Texas Open, as we are just 2 weeks away from the Masters at Augusta National.